talk about the Transparent organization?
We had talked about forming a local chapter here, not with this group, but just independently. And it just never got off the ground until we contacted this organization and decided to go under their umbrella of transparentusa.org. And that's where we are now. We haven't even held our first meeting, and we're going to be getting the training from the national organization this month. I personally know about six parents right here where I live in a small little town in southern Delaware. And in my church, there's also four parents just within the membership of the church. So I think it's the right time to form this chapter to be a support group for the parents of transgender children at any age. Because when my daughter is transgender, male to female, and she transitioned 20 years ago, I've in fact even written a book and published a book about it called Always Kristen. But there were no resources at that time. In fact, at that point, the word or the term transgender had not even been invented. One of the requirements of the chapter, interestingly enough, is that no transgender or trans-independent is, I guess, the term they're using now. Children are allowed at the meetings. And the reason for this is that the parents may be inhibited by really speaking their true feelings because some of them, in the beginning at least, are very negative. And we don't want to have any transgenders in there that might be hurt by this.
So what was it like for you when your daughter decided to transition at the age of 30?
Well, for one thing, we'd never heard of such a thing. I mean, she told us, "Mom, I'm a girl." And it was like, "Excuse me? What are you talking about?" And the only resource she sent us to was a book called, I think it's called True Selves. And it's more of the clinical approach dealing with the androgynous children or babies that were born and how they made decisions to change their sex depending on what the parents wanted. And so it helped us at least understand the clinical aspect of being one gender or another. But the psychological aspect of it was, wow, how can this happen? How can this be? I mean, we were just totally confused. But we came together as a parent. My ex-husband and his wife and my second husband kind of just had our own little support group. We would spend hours on the phone talking. They were in Massachusetts and we were in Florida at the time. Just talking about it. What does it mean? You know, how can this happen? How can this be? You know, I guess our bottom line eventually was, look, whatever this is, it doesn't change who our child is. She is still the same person, the same personality. And we love her, and we'll just support her through this, even if we don't understand it.
Did your daughter ever talk to you about the difficulty that she experienced kind of feeling that she belonged to a different gender during the years before she transitioned?
She knew about this when she was probably 3 or 4 years old. And in my book, I go through one of the chapters is called Early Signs, things that I missed, that we all missed, because who knew what transgender was even or what to look for. Nowadays, they know. I mean, when a child says, "Mom, I'm a girl," and they obviously were born a boy, people pay attention to that. But back in the 90s, there was nothing to pay attention to because we knew nothing. And she at first thought she might be a cross-dresser. As she was growing up and showed signs of wanting to play with girly things or with a little girl across the street, we just thought, you know, that was a phase. And then later, when I found her dressed as a girl trying on some of my clothes, I thought she might be gay. But you know, as I said, back then we didn't understand being transgendered, and there was very little out there to help us.
So I understand that you're a reverend, is that right?
Yes, I'm a retired Episcopal priest.
Okay, so can you talk a little bit about how your faith kind of comes into it? I don't know if you discuss that in your book at all.
Actually, I don't, other than the fact that during this period, I was in seminary in training to be ordained to the priesthood, and it was about the year after I was ordained that she transitioned, and I think it was 2000. I think if my faith had anything at all to do with it, it was that I would talk to God a lot about and pray that, you know, that things would turn out okay. I think anyone who is religious has a great acceptance, if you will, of mystery, because God is, after all, a mystery. And certainly this being a transgender person in your life as your child is a big, big mystery. And so I just continued to have the faith that this would all work out.
So this group is focused on parents. Why is it important that parents have a support group?
Just the experience of sharing, of being with other people who have the same experience, to have, I think, basic validation that what we're feeling as parents, whether it was a good feeling or a bad feeling, is shared by others, and that we can support each other by sharing our stories. And I think that's one of the powerful parts of this chapter, is the sharing part of our stories in a safe, confidential environment where there'll be no criticism, but just listening. Sharing each person's story often gives us hope, and you know, we're not alone in this. We're not the only ones. I mean, that's how we felt 20 years ago.
Well, I was just wondering if there was a reason, particular reason, that it was going to be in Southern Delaware, or is that just where you're from?
We're meeting in Lewis for the first couple of meetings, but I personally want to move that to Georgetown so that it's in a more central location for everyone down here in Lower Delaware. We even have people that are interested in coming down from Wilmington at this point, so I don't think there's anything even up there at this point. We don't know of any other groups right now that are doing this for parents, and so it's here because this is where I live, basically. But I wouldn't want it to be more centrally located than Lewis, but that's why it's here.
What is going to happen at the meeting on October 15th?
We're just calling that an organizational meeting. It's kind of an announcement meeting, and we've invited leaders from PFLAG and Rehoboth Camp and other leaders in the community. I think one of them is a former PFLAG facilitator. So that we're going to announce what we're doing, you know, and we'll hopefully have the parents there. I know there'll be some transgender there, even though they are not going to be allowed going forward. It's kind of an announcement meeting that this is what we're doing. In a meeting, you'll come in, and at our official meeting, which is, that'll be in November. But basically, you have people sign in. They have to do an intake form, and we read a confidentiality statement, and that's done at every meeting. Then we also have the rules of the meeting about privacy and confidentiality. And then we have the sharing, and that will be, you know, where people tell their stories. I'm looking at having some educators come in, some medical people come in, some psychologists come in, some people come in to bring educational information to the group, and then we would adjourn.
Okay, and then after this particular meeting, people who are transgender won't be allowed because this is just for parents.
It's for parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and caregivers and family members, and even adult friends of transgender. The only restriction is that the transgender independent persons will not be allowed in the meeting.